chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. We shall read the first 7 verses. The message to the church at Ephesus. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. I know thy works, thy labor, thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and is born, and hath had patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have against thee, that thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy lampstand out of his place, except thou repent. This thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his word. Unto the angel of the church. Paul never wrote to the angel of the church. Why did John write to the angel of the church? What is the significance of angels and angels? Matthew chapter 18, verse 10. To the angel of the church. Verse 10, Matthew 18. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, verse 15. 12 and 15. Acts chapter 12, verse 15. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that was even so. Then they said, It is Peter's angel. The angel was the representative of the individual. We could look at more scriptures, but when you're home, look it up. The angel represents the individual. The angel of the church represents the church. But there is also another significance. Turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus. The angel of the church. Exodus chapter 32. The angel is the representative of the person or the individual. But then there is another aspect to the angel. Chapter 32 of Exodus, verse 34. Therefore, go now, lead the people into the place which I have spoken unto them. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in that day, when I will visit their sin upon them. Before, he led a pillar of fire and a cloud. Now he's sending an angel. Something had come in between those people and the Lord. And instead of leading in person, he leads through an angel. Chapter 33. Verses 2 and 3. The Lord said unto Moses, Depart and go up hence, Thou and the people which thou hast brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, unto thy seed will I give it. I will send an angel before thee. I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and so forth. Fellowship had been broken, and so the Lord led them by an angel. Next, something that happened, as we've said, and in each of these churches, the Lord speaks to the angel of the church. Paul never spoke to the angel of the church. He spoke directly to the saints. Or you say, well, even in the case of Corinth and some of the other churches, there were things between them and the Lord. But remember, this church in Ephesus, John is addressing them 32 years after Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus. And in that 32 years, apparently, the fellowship had been so broken that the Lord could no longer speak to them by name. He had to speak by an angel. How is our fellowship with the Lord? Are we truly in fellowship with the Lord? Is there nothing between us and the Lord? Does he speak to us directly? Now let us notice next the character in which the Lord presents himself. Verse 1. These things saith he that holds the seven stars. He holds the seven stars. What are the seven stars? Chapter 1 and verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. And so we see the Lord here is holding the seven stars, holding under control those messengers to the church. Now what we want to do is look a little bit, perhaps most of the time, at the right hand of God. He's holding them in his right hand. What is the significance of his right hand? Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, verse 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, has dashed in pieces the enemy. The right hand speaks of strength, of power. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40, verse 9. The right hand. Hast thou an arm like God? Canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Verse 14. Then will I confess unto thee, your own right hand can save you. The right hand speaks of strength, of power, and he's holding these seven angels in his right hand. Psalm 17. We're going to look at a number of scriptures on the right hand, and I hope that you will rejoice with me at the right hand of the Lord, a right hand of strength and power, and what it means to us. Chapter 17 of Psalm, verse 7. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand. The strength of the right hand. Chapter 18, please. Verse 35. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand has held me up. Now, I don't know about you, but you see, I thrill as I read these scriptures. I have a number here. We're not going to read them all. But that right hand of God speaks of strength and of power. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 8. My soul follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Psalm 98. Verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. He hath done marvelous things. His right hand hath gotten him the victory. I think that's enough. But when you go home, look up the scriptures on the right hand. It'll thrill you. And you know why it'll thrill you? John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You're in his right hand. But verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. What? I don't know if you feel the way I do. The right hand is the right hand of strength. We're in the Lord's right hand and in the Father's right hand. What does that mean? You may fall in his hand, but you can't fall out. Eternal security. Isn't that a thrilling thought? Eternal security. And by the way, what's in your hand belongs to you. Let's read verse 27. My sheep. What's in your right hand belongs to you. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 19 and 20. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, which you have of God? You don't belong to yourselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We belong to God. Do you know what that means? He's holy. We belong. He's ours. Well, pardon me, but he is ours, and we are his. Oh, by the way, just a little aside. One young man said, I don't see how we can be his and he is ours. And they were sitting by a fire. And a stoke was in the fire. And this believer said, look at that stoke in the fire. The stoke is in the fire and the fire is in the stoke. How do you like that? In his hand. And what's in his hand he owns. We are not our own. You know what that means? We belong to him, therefore we can't go where we want to go. We are his. We can't do what we want to do. We belong to him. Why, we can't even say what we want to say. We belong to him. So completely. I've told you this before, but I'll tell it again. A lovely couple in New York, recently married. And we have in New York at Christmas time what they call the Rockettes. These Rockettes sing and dance. And this dear new bride wanted to see the Rockettes. Oh, let's go to the Rockettes. And hubby said, I don't think we should go. I don't think we should go. she prevailed upon him. He said, let's go. I will take you to see the rockets. And when he got there, he said at the ticket agent, 3 tickets, please. His wife looked at him. 3? What do you need 3 for? 1 for you, 1 for me, and 1 for the Lord. She said, let's go home. We belong to him. We go where he goes, where he tells us to go. We are his property. Another story of a young fellow. He had kept very bad company. The Lord saved him. And one day his friends came to him and were enticing him to go in some evil deed. You know what this young fellow said? Lord, your property is in jeopardy. He belonged to the Lord. He recognized that he belonged to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. We are in his strong right hand. Matthew chapter 16. In his strong right hand. Verse 18. I say unto thee, thou art Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hell shall not overpower the church of God. We are in his strong right hand. There will be no defeat. You know what that means? The victory is ours. You look around in the world and you wonder, what is going to happen? Wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Children, 10 and 12 years old, taking guns to school and shooting people. What is happening? We're on the winning side. The Lord said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, will not overcome the church. The victory is ours. Romans 8 and 37. Romans 8, verse 37. Nay, in all these things, all of these world events, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You know, we were on the winning side. There was a police officer in New York City. A believer he was. And when he retired, he wrote a tract. 26 years on the wrong side. Police can't clean up New York. Can't clean up Washington, D.C. or any place else. But we are on the winning side. The victory is ours. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. We are in his strong right hand. The victory is ours. Verse 20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet. Revelation 13, we read of the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the land. Here they are. Leaders of the revolt against the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you think we're going to be? when the beast is taken over. Where do you think we're going to be? We're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to be down here. The false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worship his image. Now read the last sentence. The beast and the false prophet. These were both cast alive into a lake of burning fire with brimstone. Beloved, we're on the winning side. We're in his strong right hand. Chapter 20, please. Verse 10. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Things are bad, huh? Satan seems to be having his way. We are on the victorious side. The Lord, with that strong right hand, he's going to defeat the beast, the false prophet, and Satan. How does that make you feel? Nobody seems to smile. Well, I tell you, it makes me feel a little good. Satan, my Lord, is going to take him and cast him into the lake of fire, and he's going to be there forever. That's victory. That's the strong right hand. And that's as far as I plan to go tonight. In the will of the Lord, we will continue our study of these churches in Asia. Meanwhile, there is a hymn that I would like us to sing. Number 73. Verses 1 and 6. And pay attention to verse 6. The victory is ours, beloved. Don't be upset by what you see around. The victory is ours. For us in might came forth a mighty one. For us he fought the fight and triumphed over it all. The victory is ours. Doesn't that make you feel better? As you look around and see all the confusion in the world, things going topsy-turvy, the rulers, we're going to get to talk about that yet. Even in the United States Congress, they don't agree. And there's some people in the Congress, if they had their way, they'd kill every believer in here. The victory is ours. Verses 1 and 6. Feel about it. But I'm sure glad the victory. I'm on the winning side. It may not appear that way today. Who's Arthur Garten? Who's he? I'm on the winning side. And every believer here is on the winning side. And if you're here and you're not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be on the winning side. Take him as your Savior here and now, and you will be on the winning side. Shall we pray? Again, Holy Father, we give thee thanks for who thou art. We give thee thanks for thy love in giving thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for us, to bear in his body our sins, and to shed his blood. We give thee thanks for the Holy Spirit present with us, to teach us and to guide us. We give thee thanks for thy holy word, so encouraging and so helpful. The victory is ours. Because we are in his strong right hand, we give thee thanks. Again, we commit to thee those of our number who are not well, and ask that thou wouldst lay thy hand of healing upon them, that thou wouldst comfort them, that thou wouldst bless them, and bless us as we leave this place. Take us home to our several places of abode in peace and in safety, as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.